For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Yankees baseball is on. WFAN, WFAN FM, WFAN HD1 New York, and Odyssey Sports Station.
All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network coming to you live from the Built for Tough studio. So I'm going to try to explain this to everybody in the easiest way that I can. So just bear with me, because there's a lot here. But essentially, Al Dukes has been obsessed with one particular theory about the MH370 flight, the Malaysian airline plane that went down that they never really understood why. They found some debris that washed up on the shores. Yes.
If I may, I do have, when you introduced it, and I have Al, you can stop it whenever you want.
Okay.
If you watched
sure.
him yesterday.
Oh, okay. So yesterday, if you missed it, Al, with this obsession that he had over what happened to the Malaysian Airlines, he has followed a theory by a man named Ashton Forbes. So he had never heard Aaron Rodgers discuss this particular conspiracy theory, where Aaron has discussed many conspiracy theories. So this was Al's opportunity to introduce this one to Aaron.
We have a man here who is
just
very much
just
like you
Al.
In no. investigating right. different things and trying to find answers. And he's been dying to ask you this particular question because he's never heard your opinion on it. So this is Al Dukes, our executive producer.
Hi.
So this here's your opportunity, Al.
So there's this guy on Twitter named Ashton Forbes who's been investigating the Malaysian Air that disappeared.
Yeah.
And he's got a very extensive argument with what he claims are military videos and this sort of thing, that the U.S. government took the plane to Diego Garcia military base. And it's very interesting. He supposedly was booked on Rogan, and then Rogan canceled him for some reason. Have you ever looked into that thing at all? And what do you think?
I have. I've seen,
interesting.
I've seen some things. I think yeah. that I've seen some of their videos with the three objects
yeah.
in the plane. Yeah, I don't know. That's a hard one for me.
Yeah, what's weird is that it's really that guy, and I don't see a lot of other people talking about it. And I would think that'd be something like Rogan or somebody else would want to look into, because it's pretty compelling what the guy lays out.
Yeah, it's interesting for sure. Compelling. I don't know. I mean, it's definitely interesting.
Yeah,
I haven't spent a ton of time on it. I always thought it was interesting how the planes are able to disappear like that, because I believe there's still only two or three companies that make all the engines for the planes. They're able to track them. But I don't know. I mean, wasn't there wreckage in the Indian Ocean?
Yeah, well, they claim.
Just a little bit
claim,
of it.
Yes.
Yeah.
I've actually been going back and watching one of my favorite shows during this training camp, Lost. So,
of course.
You know, a lot of similarities, right, with that one where,
yes.
you know, Whitmore hit a bunch of, you know, fake planes, built at the bottom of the ocean. Although, with Lost, there's so many weird storylines yeah. going on. I don't even know what that is.
All right, so
on.
There you go. So Al gets asked this question. Now, what does Ashton Forbes claim? You kind of got a little bit of it there, that the U.S. government has this technology where these three objects surround the plane and then can basically make it disappear and appear somewhere else.
To like a transporter.
Right. Exactly. Like so this is why even Aaron Rodgers, the man who is the most famous person to be that outspoken on conspiracy theories, and I don't think that that's hyperbole, he even said, that's a tough one for me. That's a tough one for me. Now, Ashton Forbes, as I find out this morning from an Al Dukes retweet, this is the man who came up with this theory and has the videos, goes, I'm wrapping up my letter to Aaron Rodgers. Technically, the letter is for everyone. I've been writing for 2 hours, and I only hit the high points of the evidence. I'm going to make a short video to go with it, and I'll post both tomorrow. I want to personally thank Al Dukes and WFAN.
Wow.
For being brave enough to ask about the plane. Many people are too afraid to ask controversial questions and challenge conformity.
And so this guy credited Al specifically by name.
Yeah.
And WFAN.
And WFAN.
Unlike ESPN.
Unlike ESPN. And by the way, our brand manager, Ryan Hurley, was on top of this last night at like 11 p.m. and was asking why we didn't get proper credit. So good for him being on top of it.
Yeah, I noticed it, and I was like, oh, that's fine. And I didn't expect them to do, because they never do.
Yeah.
And they technically did what the bare minimum they had to do.
Yeah, and yes, and they that's exactly what they were going to do, was bare minimum. Now, they did apologize for not doing it right, but whatever. So anyway, back to Al. This could be one of Al's crowning achievements.
And you remember this exchange from the end of the Aaron Rodgers interview.
Thank you so
Thanks,
much.
Guys. It's great to see you, brother. Thanks. Good luck this year, man.
Have a great year, man. Yeah. Thank you. It's Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network.
Wow, good question.
Contractors get what you need, pointed to Al and said, good question. Yeah.
Good question, yes. Right to Al. So, I mean, what a moment for Al Dukes.
Yeah, it was a great moment for Al Dukes, and it was good for Aaron Rodgers for answering the way he did.
Yeah, and I can guarantee you now that even though Aaron said it was a tough one for me, that he will look into it more, and I'm sure that this guy now writing this letter to Aaron Rodgers, that Aaron will probably see it, and he'll look into it, and maybe he'll have a different opinion on it. But, I mean,
and maybe he'll get him on to Rogan, because Aaron goes on Rogan.
That is true. And I did not know that this guy, Ashton Forbes, was booked on Rogan, and all of a sudden Rogan canceled him. So I don't know. Maybe he found out that Rogan didn't think the guy was credible enough or whatever.
Or maybe this guy, when he goes on Rogan, if it happens, he brings Al. That would be
that would be amazing for Al to be sitting there. Oh. That would be great for Al.
I mean, that's like, that would be the equivalent of my meet and greet with Dua Lipa, right? That everything so, yes. led to that moment.
No, but then you get to hang out for 2 hours and sing with her.
Right, exactly. True, good point. Like, he would be somehow found his way sitting next to Joe Rogan with the MH370 conspiracy theorist that he got to through Aaron Rodgers. What a connection. What a story.
Yo, the amazing thing is that, you know, Aaron Rodgers, knowing this thing goes down in the Indian Ocean, like, you realize how far away from everything this plane supposedly went down.
Well,
I mean, like, it was legitimately in the middle of nowhere.
You know, yes, and so this is my opinion on this, and I love how crazy and sci-fi that is. And it was interesting to me and fun to go through.
Yeah.
But, you know, my father's been in aviation for a long time.
Yes.
And when this went down, he said it crashed in the middle of the Indian Ocean. They will find Amelia Earhart before they find that plane.
Exactly.
So, and some wreckage did end up washing up. The more interesting thing to me with this story is why it went down.
Exactly.
Like, because of the, I think it crashed, and I think it crashed in the middle of the Indian Ocean. It didn't disappear. But was it the pilot? What happened there? And there was a whole documentary on Netflix about it.
About the pilot possibly committing suicide, right. The whole thing.
And then also another, like, there was somebody on the plane that somebody wanted dead.
Yeah, like stuff like
and
that.
And by the way, that's plausible. Sure,
sure
it is.
Right.
But transporting to another dimension.
It's also, you know, it's interesting you talk about that because, you know, the Brazilian Airlines plane that just went down. The same thing. You know, they're questioning why that plane went down
and
who was on that plane.
Yeah, but it was ice. That to me is a full explanation. Another thing I talked to my dad about the other day. If you look, the ice built up on the wings, and essentially when that happens, it deems the wings useless. And if you watch the video, it goes down, bang, just like that. So,
but who was on the plane? And yeah, why wasn't the plane de-iced?
Well, they might have done that a million times and thought that they could get away with it, and then they ended up... Once you're up there and the ice starts building...
It's too hard.
Or the military has a secret X-Men project and Iceman came and crashed the plane.
I mean, yeah, I'm not buying into any of it. I'm just saying those are the discussions that are going around now.
Sure, right.
And everything that happened, like this happens, they look at who's on the passenger manifest and they say, oh, why would they not want these people to live?
But this is what happens. We'll just leave it at that. But to me, that was a very...
We got to get Izzo on this.
Yeah, it was definitely... It was just an ice situation. But anyway, speaking of like all this interdimensional crazy stuff, so I was talking to Al off the air. The latest Unsolved Mysteries on Netflix is very, very good. There's three in the middle that are great, but it opens up with an interesting one from the past and like who was Jack the Ripper, and then it ends with Mothman.
Mothman.
Now... You know Mothman.
I know, of course. The Mothman's been around for centuries.
It's crazy.
Just like Chupacabra, Bigfoot, the whole thing.
But the amount of Mothman sightings, the normal people, and then even, by the way...
Where was the last time they saw a Mothman?
I mean, probably yesterday around the Chicago area. This is how much time it happens. So there was even pilots and air traffic controllers that worked at O'Hare that saw Mothman and then were afraid for years to say what they saw because they thought people were going to think they were crazy and they'd lose their jobs.
And these people all have nothing in common with each other,
nothing
other than the fact that they work in aviation.
Well, those people, yes. But there's also many, many residential communities that if you see the sightings, they're all, and it's all the same, these red eyes and the wings and whatever, and then it disappears. And then it was in West Virginia, like back in the 60s, and they think that Mothman potentially can like go from dimension to dimension very quickly. But it's like it's definitely like a bad thing.
Right.
Like it's an evil. They feel evil with Mothman. Now, Eddie, are you a Mothman believer?
I am not. But I have heard of it. Yeah, you know, I would love to believe any of these things because it's cool. But
yeah.
Do I? No.
No.
Yeah. I don't know, man. There's so many people that think they see the same thing. Like, what? How does that happen? Let's go to Gerald in Vernon, New Jersey. What's going on, Gerald?
Hey, guys. What's up? First time calling in.
All right. What's up, man?
Not much. You guys should also look into the theory of the plane that went down in Sao Paulo a couple weeks ago. There were supposed to be 15 cancer doctors going to a conference on that plane. 7 dramatically got moved to a different plane, and then the 8 got put onto the plane. They were having connection issues with the towers, and the plane randomly just went down, and these doctors that were on there were supposedly had cures for cancer.
Yeah,
man, that's part of the conspiracy theory that's out there now. And because of we're all connected via social media, this is what's being, you know, permeated around
so
social
what,
media.
The thought being Big Pharma doesn't want cancer cure?
Yeah, yeah, that kind of thing.
I mean, that's crazy. Come on. That's a tough one.
Or one Big Pharma wants the cure, not and doesn't want to share it, and so they can really cash in.
You're telling me that the only people that knew what was going on with this cure were on that plane?
No, of course not.
Right.
Right. But there were also issues at the airport, missing planes, going to wrong gates, you know, all the things that, you know, kind of happen.
Yeah.
And stuff like this, when a plane or something of significance happens like this, what do? We all now start trying to think of that could lead us to this being done on purpose.
I don't know why everybody started believing. Obviously, the age of the internet and intelligence levels and things like that. But things have gotten out of control. Nobody looks. And I think that questioning things is great. Being cynical about things is smart. But we've gotten to a point now where there is not a single thing that happens that people don't have some extravagant conspiracy theory as to why it happened.
And you could find pretty much every take on every single, let's say in this case, disaster. You can find somebody that's creating something or content from a disaster as a plane crash.
Oh, right, of course. I mean, it's just, I don't know. Do you think that Al Dukes and Aaron Rodgers are both very similar because they don't have children?
That could be part of it, sure. I would say that's a part of it.
I'm sure J.D. Vance feels that way.
Eddie sounds a little offended by that notion.
No, but like it's in no way a knock or trying to. I just think that when you are a single person, you don't have a wife or children, you have more time to look into things, whatever you. So I believe that. You know, some of the people that are deeper thinkers or going down rabbit holes, like they'll have that 2 hours to do so.
You're living the life. I mean, you have a chaotic life right now. You don't realize it.
Oh, I realize it. Yeah, I do. I realize it even more when I came back from vacation.
Okay. But think about your commute. Think about your two kids. Think about your family. Think about all the things that are going on in your life presently.
Yeah.
Al doesn't have that. Now, Aaron Rodgers has the football team. He's got all of that kind of stuff. Yeah, and he has the celebrity that goes along with it and all the pressures and all the different demands on his own time.
Well, right. But when Rob Saleh goes home, he's got 7 kids. And when Aaron Rodgers goes home by himself, there's nobody there.
Yeah, I understand that. But that's what I'm saying. I'm comparing especially Al's Spartan lifestyle.
Yeah.
To yours.
Spartan lifestyle.
Right. Yeah. It is.
Yeah. No, it's different. I just, and I'm not saying that in any sort of negative way at all. I just thought that that hit me yesterday. I was like, man, these guys are similar in a lot of ways.
Yeah. But there are people with kids that also go down that hole.
Tom Izzo, the conspiracy theorist.
Oh, some people like that. Yes.
That is true. Yeah.
Right. But like Gio, like you're not going down that hole, but you'll sit there and you'll watch a Netflix documentary series.
I will, but like, right? But then it like stops, and then other things.
Then
have
you got
to
worry about the Mets,
right? Then I got to start thinking about that.
And then there's some people who never think about that kind of stuff.
Get in my ass.
All right, Gio on the fan and CBS Sports Network.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
It's the Morning Show with Boomer and Geo.
Hi, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and the CBS Sports Network. We just finished talking about Al Dukes and the MH370 flight and Aaron Rodgers and now the guy who came up with the theory of the transporting the plane to a U.S. military base. Sent out a post on X thanking Al and WFAN for broaching such a controversial topic. So you're welcome.
Yeah.
And we talked about how maybe, just maybe, Al Dukes would end up on Joe Rogan with Aaron Rodgers and this guy Ashton Forbes. Maybe, just maybe.
I don't think so.
Well, Benjamin in Syracuse just has a thought on this. Benjamin, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, guys. I love you guys. I grew up in Rockland County. I had to move up to Syracuse for a job, and the Aussie app is amazing. But I listen to Rogan every so often, mostly for his mixed martial arts guys he has on and comedians. First thing he'd say is, whoa, look how skinny you are. Can I give you some elk meat? First thing would be like commenting on, like, dude, do you lift? I'm going to give you a plan or something. That would be, he'd say, hold on, let's first deal with you before doing anything else.
A little self-help.
Yeah, right. And then it would turn into 4 hours of just feeding Al different sort of meats and vitamins and things for his brain. Yeah, probably, Benjamin. You're probably
video
right.
And podcast.
Yeah, thanks, man. Yeah, I mean,
I'm telling you, Rogan probably didn't have this guy on because it's just such an outlandish thought that it's. I would imagine in their eyes that it would just be a waste of time.
Maybe, but I mean, he booked them at first, so I mean,
yeah, but then you know, like the reality sets in, like, come on, what are we doing here? What are you doing?
I mean, he's had lots of people on and lots of conspiracy.
Well, Izzo is telling me that there was a jealousy, perhaps, thing. There was another UFO conspiracy guy who was on Rogan who told him not to put this guy on.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Jeremy, who was it?
Corbell.
Oh, okay. Wow. I'm telling you, we got some guys.
So what did this Jeremy character say about Malaysian Airlines?
Does he have
his own conspiracy theory about it?
But he poo-pooed this other guy's explanation.
Okay.
There was no transporting of planes to different areas of the country or to different dimensions time, right, and space.
Yeah. Well, good. And you're an expert in that area.
Thank you.
Yeah.
All right, Jerry, from that to the Yankees.
Sure. Brought to you by the Farmer's Dog, fresh human grade dog food delivered right to your door, and brought to you by Town Fair Tire. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Or I could give you another life lesson.
Yes.
With BT and Sal, if you'd
yes,
like.
Yes, would love that.
Sometimes you've got to go and you got to think things through, and sometimes philosophical questions do arise. I'm surprised you didn't notice this yesterday, as BT would ask Sal.
I guess the ultimate question is, can you go from a little soft dish to hard and still be impactful?
I don't.
Stuff.
Well.
Softish, hard to impactful.
Depends on the person, I suppose.
Yeah.
Wow.
Those guys, you know.
And your age, really.
They were. Well, that could be the case, too. Although, for some, not so much. Really isn't much of an issue at all. So, yeah. They had some show yesterday.
They did.
Wow. I mean, BT with all of these double entendres back and forth.
Yeah. I mean, you could say that those guys... Yeah, they could be a sexual help show, if you think about it.
What do you mean, Boomer?
Can you go from softish to hard and still be impactful? I mean, that's a philosophical question.
Going from
softish to hard, you would become impactful.
You would think.
The question would be, do you go the opposite way and be impactful?
No.
Yeah, probably not.
No.
I would think no. Mr. Softy, probably not.
Get in my ass.
Oh, my God.
Well, Juan Soto got in the asses of the White Sox last night.
3-1. Soto drives another. Deep left center field. Way back and gone.
Goodbye. Juan Soto.
Second tonight for Juan.
Yeah, he would hit three. That was Emmanuel Babari with the call on the fan. 4-1 the final as the Yankees beat the White Sox, bouncing back from that bad loss the night before. Here was Soto. So three home runs. You came up in the ninth inning, wound up walking. Were you thinking of number four on the night?
No, I was ready. I was just more ready to add a couple more runs to the team, try to help the team to get an easy win today, but it didn't happen, and thanks to the bullpen, it came out strong today.
The guy's pretty good. 33 home runs, 86 RBIs, 100 runs scored. Not too shabby. Yankees now 71-50 with the win, and they take over first place in the AL East because the Orioles lost to the Nationals 9-3. That said, Jazz Chisholm Jr., likely headed to the IL with a UCL injury in his elbow. We didn't think it was a big deal yesterday. Apparently, it might be or could be. We shall see. Nestor Cortez, 9 strikeouts for the win.
I love the hustle and everything else, but this is why you don't want to be diving into bases. You know, and how many times
feet first.
And how many times have they said that?
You're right.
I mean, it is like just a natural instinct to do. He did, and he was trying to get home.
Chisholm scores.
And I have to say, you know, the energy, the effort, and all that stuff is, you know, you can laud him.
You can applaud it.
Yeah, 100%, but it's not the way it's supposed to be done.
No.
And this is the reason why. That in your hand.
Especially going into home plate where the catcher's got all the gear on. You can jam your hand on anything.
Yeah, well, yeah, exactly. Stupid. Even though they're not supposed to be blocking the plate.
Fair. That's a good point. As for the Mets.
There was some play by the White Sox, though.
That was, yes, although we were safe.
Man, pretty I good. Tell you, the fundamentals of the White Sox are just amazing. Really watching this team play baseball. Some play. It's impressive.
They hit a cut.
Yeah.
Not bad.
Swinging a high smash in the air to left. Nimmo racing back to the track. He looks up, and it is gone. Shea Langeliers catches a changeup out in front of the plate, pulls it into the seats in left center.
Yeah, three-run homer there, and that, 9-4 was the final. That put the A's up by a bunch. Keith Radd on WCBS 880, and it was Seth Brown, a three-run double in the first. The bulk of the offense, Paul Blackburn, the former A. Not so good. He says, tough day all around for me.
Never been here. I had no clue where to go today, to be honest. No clue how to get in here. You know, but at the end of the day, it's still kind of same game. Same game out there. I obviously wished, my home debut here went a lot better than what it went. But, you got to put that behind you and 5 days go back out there.
And go back
would
out
you there. Fight that voice?
I don't know that I would or I wouldn't. I don't think it was terrible.
I don't think it was that bad.
Well, I think I would.
I know what you're saying.
I would fight
never
that.
Been here. No clue where to go today, to be honest. No clue how to get in here. You
it
know,
just
but
sounds like a normal voice to me.
Still,
I would fight
kind
it.
Of same.
Okay.
So you're saying no, you wouldn't fight it because you think there could
I'm
be.
I'm saying I don't know.
I'm not saying that it's that obvious.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, there could be some hidden rage there.
All right. So your answer is no, then.
No.
You would not fight that voice.
God, okay. Speaking of that, and I know this happens at a lot of baseball games, football games, all over the place. But did you see the Ram fan and the Cowboy fan, the video at SoFi Stadium from this weekend?
No.
I forget which one it was, but the guy punches the guy, knocks him out cold, and then just keeps attacking the guy after he's on the ground, like knocked
did
out.
Did you see the fight between Steve Smith Sr. and I think it was the wide receiver?
This recently?
Yeah, at a UFC fight.
Oh, an actual I'm talking about sanctioned
no,
fight?
No, no, no. He was in the stands.
Oh. No, I haven't seen
like with a fan, like got into it.
I think so.
And like I said, I know this happens a lot, but my God, the video is just awful to see that. But anyhow, so the Mets lose 9-4 as you're looking for that. Here was Mark Kotze, the A's manager, when Austin Adams came in, the former Met. He got out of the jam in the fifth inning, and then he basically was mocking the OMG celebration.
Yeah.
And then I saw that, John Boy put out some of the lip reading. I mean, he was really going after the Mets pretty good and mocking them. Here was,
oh, my God.
Here was Kotze, not so much on that, but just the fact that he was celebrating quite extensively when he got out of the inning.
There's a lot of emotion in this game from pitchers and hitters. His emotion is one that, I enjoy watching, and I'm assuming that if you're on the other side, you don't enjoy watching?
Probably not, especially when you're losing 7-4 at the time. So while we talk about the Yankees now a half game ahead of Baltimore for first place, Mets have lost 4 straight and 7 of 11. They find themselves 2 games behind Atlanta for the third wild card spot. The Braves beat the Giants 4-3. And speaking of the Mets and Braves, I bring you this story from Jeff Francoeur, a former Met and Brave, who was on with Tim Kurkjian on a podcast. Kind of a cool story.
I don't know how I missed this.
I only clicked on it because I saw the name Tiger Woods involved.
No, that's fine.
So I'm like, all right, let me see what this is about. So Francoeur is talking about how there's only been one. He's met presidents, former presidents, but Tiger Woods is the one guy that he's been starstruck over. So he's telling a story from when he was with the Braves as a kid, basically, in his early 20s, and how different of a guy Bobby Cox was as a manager while they're in spring training. Clips are just a little long.
You know, Bobby, during spring training, loved us to play golf, loved this. We were playing the Yankees at 1 o'clock on a day game. And I was 22 years old. I'd been playing for 3 months as a starter. I was not going to go up to Bobby and be like, hey, I need the day off, right? Like, but he comes out to stretch and goes, Smoltz, he said you had a chance to play with Tiger today. There was a 150 tee time. And I'm like, Bobby, I'm fine.
All right, so he's 22. Tiger Woods offered him a spot in his foursome to play. So what was the plan then at that point?
He said, after your first at-bat today, run through first base and kind of rub your ankle a little bit like you hurt your ankle. And he's like, in 2 days, we're going to Bradenton. And you know, Tim, you have to have whatever three starters make a road trip.
Sure.
And he's like, I hate Bradenton's infield. I don't want to get any of the guys hurt. So if you go to Bradenton, I'll let you go play with Tiger today.
And so this is how it ends up.
So sure enough, man, we're playing the Yankees. 12, 13,000 people in Orlando. I ground out the first at bat. I run through first. I start, you know, rubbing my ankle. And, you know, Bobby, he waddles out there with his cleat and he checks on me. I run inside. I literally throw my golf clothes on. I didn't shower. I get to the golf course and they're on the first fairway. So I hit my tee shot. We end up playing 27 holes. And about 4:30, my wife sends me a little thing that there was an update that said Francourt day-to-day with a high ankle.
That's actually a pretty cool
story. And by the way, Steve Smith Sr. did not get in a fight at a UFC fight.
Steve Jones Sr.? Who was it?
I don't know. It was some guy that I guess appeared to look like Steve Smith Sr.
The internet strikes again.
Yes.
Whoops.
I just want to make sure that I got that right. No, but the headline read Steve Smith. Well, it wasn't me saying that.
And we're also brought to you by Ball Sack Sports.
There you go.
Was that the website?
No, it wasn't.
That's actually pretty funny. All right, speaking of Steve Smith Sr., just in terms of football, not really him. Let's talk some football. The Giants. Here's Devin Singletary. He's one of the newest of Giants, and you kind of wonder what people think of Daniel Jones. So he was asked from afar, what do you think? He said, well, nothing from afar. However, being around him.
Me personally, he's a dog. He comes to work every day. Definitely a playmaker. And I feel like we're going to have a lot of fun this year with him.
What do you mean by he's a dog?
Just the way he attacks every day, like in practice, on the field, how he goes about his business. You know a dog when you see a dog.
So making good impression.
What breed of dog?
Yes,
would Daniel Jones be?
A bulldog.
No. He's got to be big and gentle.
All right, Golden Retriever.
St. Bernard. I guess, but St. Bernards have more of like a loving sort of, they want to help you. They have that thing around their neck that's filled with whatever liquid.
I say
you
a golden
need.
Retriever.
Golden Retriever?
Afghan.
An Afghan?
With the neck, the longer neck.
How about the Spumoni?
What is a Spumoni? I don't know what an Afghan and a Spumoni are.
Spumoni, isn't that like an Italian pastry or something?
I think this is, it's an Italian water dog, right?
Afghan. I thought Spumoni might be an ice cream.
Oh my God. You
Are you looking at the Afghan or the Spumoni?
The Afghan is the dog. He doesn't have long hair, but the Afghan is, if Daniel Jones were a dog, he would be an Afghan hound.
Interesting.
That's the type of dog he would be.
There you go.
Spumoni. You're right, Spumoni is a dog. No, that's not Daniel Jones.
No.
That looks like a left tackle that's going out to retirement.
Spinoni is okay. Not Spumoni. That's ice cream.
Spinoni.
Spumoni Gardens.
You did say Spumoni.
Did I say Spumoni? I meant whatever.
You know who's got a Spumoni?
Willie Mays.
Steve Smith Jr.
Oh, that is funny. What else? Oh, in Miami, Mike McDaniel sat down with up in Adams, Kay Adams, as you know. Now, maybe you've heard this story before. I have not. Apparently, Dan Marino has how the John Madden video game story is legendary.
Yeah.
He took, $50,000 and didn't take out any of the money going forward because I guess he didn't believe in the, who knows, whatever. So apparently, Dan Marino has a Madden-like story that involves Ace Ventura.
Yeah, so found out one of his biggest regrets of his entire career was being compensated for the film. He took the lumps sum instead of the residuals, right?
Yeah, apparently had no vision for the success.
He didn't feel very strong about the prospects of it. Ultimately took a small lump sum that still eats at him to this day.
Have you ever heard that?
I have not, but I mean, can you blame him? Like, when he's getting tied up there and you got Jim Carrey in a tutu?
Finkel. Finkel is Einhorn. Einhorn is a man.
I'm like, this is money right now, because this ain't going anywhere.
This is the worst goddamn movie ever made.
No, I knew that story from working with Danny, and I told him I did get residuals from game plan,
right?
And do get residuals,
and you like, still do?
Yeah, like $1.30.
and you mean $1.30?
Yes.
He said, listening to the interview more and the story, was that when Jim Carrey showed up to pitch it, he was dressed like a hobo, like he was in the movie, and he's just looking at this guy like, this ain't going to work. Well, it did work. And yeah. So there you have it. I thought that was interesting. J.J. McCarthy will need time. He's going to miss because of surgery for a torn meniscus. Just not sure how much. The Vikings said he's got to go in for the surgery to find out the severity. And it could be something 4 to 6 weeks. Could be season ending. So we shall see. And Sam Rosen, legendary Rangers announcer on MSG, announcing Tuesday on a conference call that this season will be his 40th and final one at the mic.
That's going to be jarring for Ranger fans to hear somebody else do it for the full season. Now, I understand there's many guys that you've heard in the voices, and Kenny Albert,
I would think. But then again, you know, Kenny Albert's got big national jobs.
Yeah, but so does Mike Breen with the Knicks. I would think Kenny becomes the primary guy.
But it's interesting because when Mike Breen is doing something with somebody else, then it's Kenny Albert that does the Knicks.
That's true. That's a very good point.
You know what? This is the first thing I thought of. Pressure's on. Rangers got to win a cup. For Sam.
I agree with you.
And if they don't, it'd be massive disappointment.
And that would be, yeah.
If they don't, it's going to be a massive disappointment anyway. And nah. It always ends in massive disappointment.
It'd be 31 years, that's right.
Yeah.
It's 24-25, right?
Yeah, that's right. This was the anniversary.
Yeah, this was it.
This like would have been the year, yeah.
Be a hell of a way to go out, though.
Yeah.
For Sam.
Oh, my God, imagine.
But again, you got to remember, they get one round of playoffs? Is it one round?
Yeah, but just to call the season and then for it to...
He does radio.
Yeah, right. He goes to radio local when they go to the playoffs. So
he'd be on a float.
Yes. 100%.
Mm-hmm. Yes. All right, Boomer and Geo coming to you live at the Built Ford Tough studio.
It's the Morning Show with Boomer and Geo.
I forget who even said it, that they said that Daniel Jones was a dog from Giants camp. I don't know who they were talking to. You remember who was Jared?
Devin Singletary.
That was Devin Singletary, the running back.
Yeah.
But Devin Singletary said that Daniel Jones was a dog. And the follow-up question was like, well, what makes you think that? Because we've seen him for a very long time, and he's non-dog-like.
Well, I think most of his... I think all of his teammates respect his work ethic.
Yeah.
And they respect the fact that he's come back from a number of major injuries.
Sure.
So he has the respect of the locker room. I don't think anybody's ever questioned that.
Yes.
The problem is that their offense has been so bad and he's been hurt so many times that there has been a lack of consistency that has been associated with the team offensively. Now, many will tell you that they didn't build the team around him the right way. I would argue that he hasn't had the consistency when it comes to offensive coordinators and head coaches, that he has dealt with so much change in his career that it's hard to really, you know, set yourself and become the player that they thought he was going to become when they drafted him.
Right. So I happen to ask, if Daniel Jones were a dog breed, what dog breed would he be? And then he came up with an Afghan hound, and CBS Sports Network has a side-by-side of Daniel Jones and an Afghan hound. So the TV audience, if you'd like. So, yeah, I mean, that's pretty good. That's pretty good. Now, I know the Afghan hound has longer hair, but with a long neck like that and a gentle disposition.
And the eyes, very much.
And the Afghan's beautiful.
It is a beautiful dog. And Daniel Jones, good-looking guy. Yeah, but I think that's pretty good.
Human being, yeah.
I think that is as close as you can get. Now, we did have someone send to us on X that Daniel Jones is whimsy, which I think is not bad either. Not bad. Long neck.
Thin. Yes. Then, yeah, but he's strong.
Being held captive by something he doesn't want to be held captive by.
Al Dukes is more whimsy than Daniel Jones is. Let's put it that way.
Right. And then Fleek says, and the owner thought picking him was a good idea. Now can't wait to get rid of him. There are a lot of similarities there. That's a good one, Fleek. That's a good one. But yeah, I mean, I've said this several times this preseason, this offseason, that it's really hard to imagine that in this day and age in NFL football, where everything changes every single year, it's craziness, more so than we've ever seen. Young quarterbacks getting given up on, like Trey Lance. Veteran quarterbacks being shipped around all over the place, like Russell Wilson in 2 years, two different places, and the Broncos, I guess he was 2 years with the Denver, but him getting thrown out of there. Kirk Cousins leaving in free agency. All of these things.
Well, you go Sam Darnold, Baker Mayfield.
That all of these guys that are bouncing around in the quarterback blender, like you call it.
Yes.
That Daniel, we have another year of Daniel Jones.
Well, I mean, and he has another year to become the, and I think this is the best offensive team he's had around him.
Yeah.
And, you know, 2 years ago, he took him to the playoffs, and unfortunately, another injury, you know, set him back. So now Joe Shane went out, and they were looking to try to possibly replace him with a younger quarterback that they would be able to draft and trade up to go and get, but it didn't work out. So now it's not like they have nothing. They actually had better players around him, and their offensive line should be better. So he should be better. What I want to see from just the Giants in general is just the compete level that goes up, and maybe that fight against Detroit is a sign of that. That's what you're hoping for. I mean, this is not a place for the faint of heart, and you got to go out there. And as Brian Daboll said, I need energy from, you know, my leaders have got to be that way. Brian Burns has got to be that way. Kayvon Thibodeau's got to be that way. Bobby Okereke's got to be that way. They got to be on edge all the time, and they can't just get punched in the mouth over and over and over again and be accepting of it. You know what I mean?
Sure. I mean, they weren't in Brian Daboll's first year, but last year was a long year, and they got the crap kicked out of them from the start.
And they went in this offseason, and they tried to fix certain areas of the team that they thought were, you know, that really needed to be fixed. And first and foremost was the offensive line, and secondly was the acquisition of Brian Burns, and third was going to be possibly a new young quarterback, but that just didn't materialize.
Right. And who knows if that guy works out, as we've seen from Sam Darnold to Zach Wilson to Daniel Jones. I mean, it's just one guy after another gets picked, and I mean, Mark Sanchez was okay for a little bit. Geno Smith, I mean, on and on and on and on.
There's probably about 10 teams that have legitimate starting quarterbacks that they believe in and that have been with their teams either since they were drafted or since they were, I guess they could have been called a reclamation project like Baker Mayfield down in Tampa. I think they're happy with Baker Mayfield. I think they like his intensity. I think they like his personality. Most of the players, you know, have come out and said they were really happy that he re-signed with the team. And when you look at his contract, it's a reasonable contract. It's kind of like Daniel Jones. You know, he went from being one of the highest paid players to now being like the 15th or 16th highest paid player.
Yeah, I mean, and that's what people defending that deal at the time were saying, that eventually it's not going to look so bad. Like right now, him being paid as a top five
and
guy.
And by the way, it was really a 2-year deal, meaning this being the second year. And it was kind of like, okay, thank you for getting us to the playoffs and beating Minnesota, but we're not really totally sure that we want to commit all this guaranteed money to you. We just want to see a little bit more from you. And then, unfortunately, he gets hurt last year. But this offseason, they may have wanted to move away from him, whether it was Rich Eisen or Joe Buck or anybody else that was talking about what the Giants were saying in the offseason about Daniel Jones. He now has another opportunity, you know, to plant his flag here.
Yeah, and he's been in that situation before and excelled. He's got another opportunity, and really what it comes down to is the health, like Joe Shane was saying. I mean, he never really talked about the shortcomings of Daniel Jones on Hard Knocks, about talking, you know, his play was really about, we can't trust this guy because he gets hurt, which is a really easy way for a general manager to be like, well, of course I'm looking for another quarterback. It's not that I don't believe in you. It's just that you get hurt all the time.
Well, he was also the general manager that went to the owner and said, hey, you know, we got to keep Daniel Jones. We just went to the playoffs unexpectedly. He played great. He had a great playoff game on the road in Minnesota. The team was overwhelmed in Philadelphia. That's not Daniel's fault. But, you know, we have to pay him. So could you imagine they had to sit down with John Maron. So we have to pay him $41 million. At that point, 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Joe Shane believed in him that much that he was going to pay him, but it wasn't like a 5-year with $125 million guaranteed.
Yeah, I still think they could have got him cheaper, but they do have the out at the end of this year, and they built that in, just like many teams do, to give themselves a little bit of wiggle room and sort of a safety net. So here we go again. The New York Giants and Daniel Jones take the field.
Interesting. So
we'll be there next week, by the way, on Tuesday.
Right. So his cap hits are getting bigger and bigger and bigger. That's the other thing that is the detriment. If he doesn't have a year where he throws, you know, what I hope for him with Malik Nabers now, and you know that's going to give him opportunity for big plays down the field. But if you're Brian Daboll and you really want this guy to be here, give him opportunities in the red zone to throw touchdown passes. Let me see him throw 35 touchdown passes, 4,100 yards, and lead his team to 10 to 11 wins. That would be a great season.
Hell yeah, it would. You kidding me?
Well, I mean, compared to what they have.
Sure. Right?
So give him opportunities when they're in the red zone to get some, you know, to get some touchdown passes that and to build up his confidence and to build up his numbers and to get people excited about who he is as a player.
It's the Morning Show with Boomer and Geo.
Hi, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. I forget who even said it, that they said that Daniel Jones was a dog from Giants camp. I don't know who they were talking to. You remember who was Jared?
Devin Singletary.
That was Devin Singletary, the running back.
Yeah.
But Devin Singletary said that Daniel Jones was a dog. And the follow-up question was like, well, what makes you think that? Because we've seen him for a very long time, and he's non-dog-like.
Well, I think most of his, I think all of his teammates respect his work ethic.
Yeah.
And they respect the fact that he's come back from a number of major injuries.
Sure.
So he has the respect of the locker room. I don't think anybody's ever questioned that.
Yes.
The problem is that their offense has been so bad and he's been hurt so many times that there has been a lack of consistency that has been associated with the team offensively. Now, many will tell you that they didn't build the team around him the right way. I would argue that he hasn't had the consistency when it comes to offensive coordinators and head coaches, that he has dealt with so much change in his career that it's hard to really, you know, set yourself and become the player that they thought he was going to become when they drafted him.
Right. So I happen to ask, if Daniel Jones were a dog breed, what dog breed would he be? And Eddie came up with an Afghan hound, and CBS Sports Network has a side-by-side of Daniel Jones and an Afghan hound. So the TV audience, if you'd like. So, yeah, I mean, that's pretty good. That's pretty good. Now, I know the Afghan hound has longer hair, but with a long neck like that and a gentle disposition.
And the eyes. The eyes.
The eyes very much. And the Afghan's beautiful.
It is a beautiful dog. And Daniel Jones, good-looking guy.
Yeah,
but I think that's pretty good.
Human being, yeah.
I think that is as close as you can get. Now, we did have someone send to us on X that Daniel Jones is whimsy, which I think is not bad either. Not bad. Long neck.
Thin. Yes. Then, yeah, but he's strong.
Being held captive by something he doesn't want to be held captive by.
Al Dukes is more whimsy than Daniel Jones is. Let's put it that way.
Right. And then Fleek says, and the owner thought picking him was a good idea. Now can't wait to get rid of him. There are a lot of similarities there. That's a good one, Fleek. That's a good one. But yeah, I mean, I've said this several times this preseason, this offseason, that it's really hard to imagine that in this day and age in NFL football, where everything changes every single year, it's craziness, more so than we've ever seen. Young quarterbacks getting given up on, like Trey Lance. Veteran quarterbacks being shipped around all over the place, like Russell Wilson in 2 years, two different places, and the Broncos, I guess he was 2 years with the Denver, but him getting thrown out of there. Kirk Cousins leaving in free agency. All of these things.
Well, you go Sam Darnold, Baker Mayfield.
That all of these guys that are bouncing around in the quarterback blender, like you call it.
Yes.
That Daniel, we have another year of Daniel Jones.
Well, I mean, and he has another year to become the, and I think this is the best offensive team he's had around him.
Yeah.
And, you know, 2 years ago he took him to the playoffs, and unfortunately another injury, you know, set him back. So now Joe Shane went out and they were looking to try to possibly replace him with a younger quarterback that they would be able to draft and trade up to go and get, but it didn't work out. So now it's not like they have nothing. They actually had better players around him, and their offensive line should be better. So he should be better. What I want to see from just the Giants in general is just the compete level that goes up. And maybe that fight against Detroit is a sign of that. I that's what you're hoping for. I mean, this is not a place for the faint of heart. And you got to go out there. And as Brian Daboll said, I need energy from, you know, my leaders have got to be that way. Brian Burns has got to be that way. Kayvon Thibodeau's got to be that way. Bobby Okereke's got to be that way. They got to be on edge all the time, and they got to be. They can't just get punched in the mouth over and over and over again and be accepting of it. You know what I mean?
Sure.
I mean, they weren't in Brian Daboll's first year, but last year was a long year, and they got the crap kicked out of them from the start.
And they went in this offseason, and they tried to fix certain areas of the team that they thought were, you know, that really needed to be fixed. And first and foremost was the offensive line. And secondly was the acquisition of Brian Burns. And third was going to be possibly a new young quarterback, but that just didn't materialize.
Right. And who knows if that guy works out, as we've seen from Sam Darnold to Zach Wilson to Daniel Jones. I mean, it's just one guy after another gets picked. And I mean, Mark Sanchez was okay for a little bit. Geno Smith, I mean, on and on, there's and, on, and,
about,
on and on.
There's probably about 10 teams that have legitimate starting quarterbacks that they believe in and that have been in, with their teams either since they were drafted or since they were, I guess they could have been called a reclamation project like Baker Mayfield down in Tampa. I think they're happy with Baker Mayfield. I think they like his intensity. I think they like his personality. Most of the players, you know, have come out and said they were really happy that he re-signed with the team. And when you look at his contract, it's a reasonable contract. It's kind of like Daniel Jones. You know, he went from being one of the highest paid players to now being like the 15th or 16th highest paid player.
Yeah. I mean, and that's what people defending that deal at the time were saying, that eventually it's not going to look so bad. Like right now, him being paid as a top five
and
guy
by the way,
looks terrible.
It was really a 2-year deal, meaning this being the second year. And it was kind of like, okay, thank you for getting us to the playoffs and beating Minnesota, but we're not really totally sure that we want to commit all this guaranteed money to you. We just want to see a little bit more from you. And then, unfortunately, he gets hurt last year. But this offseason, they may have wanted to move away from him, whether it was Rich Eisen or Joe Buck or anybody else that was talking about what the Giants were saying in the offseason about Daniel Jones. He now has another opportunity, you know, to plant his flag here.
Yeah, and he's been in that situation before and excelled. He's got another opportunity, and really what it comes down to is the health, like Joe Shane was saying. I mean, he never really talked about the shortcomings of Daniel Jones on Hard Knocks, about talking, you know, his play was really about, we can't trust this guy because he gets hurt, which is a really easy way for a general manager to be like, well, of course I'm looking for another quarterback. It's not that I don't believe in you. It's just that you get hurt all the time.
Well, he was also the general manager that went to the owner and said, hey, you know, we got to keep Daniel Jones. We just went to the playoffs unexpectedly. He played great. He had a great playoff game on the road in Minnesota. The team was overwhelmed in Philadelphia. That's not Daniel's fault. But, you know, we have to pay him. So they had to sit down with John Mara and said, we have to pay him $41 million. At that point, 2 years ago,
yeah.
Joe Shane believed in him that much that he was going to pay him, but it wasn't like a 5-year with $125 million guarantee.
Yeah, I still think they could have got him cheaper, but they do have the out at the end of this year, and they built that in just like many teams do to give themselves a little bit of wiggle room and sort of a safety net. So here we go again. The New York Giants and Daniel Jones.
Well,
take the field.
Interesting. So
we'll be there next week, by the way, on Tuesday.
Right. So his cap hits are getting bigger and bigger and bigger. That's the other thing that is the detriment. If he doesn't have a year where he throws, you know, what I hope for him with Malik Nabers now, and you know that's going to give him opportunity for big plays down the field. But if you're Brian Daboll and you really want this guy to be here, give him opportunities in the red zone to throw touchdown passes. Let me see him throw 35 touchdown passes, 4,100 yards, and lead his team to 10 to 11 wins. That would be a great season.
Hell yeah, it would. You kidding me?
Well, I mean, compared to what they have.
Sure. Right?
So give him opportunities when they're in the red zone to get some, you know, to get some touchdown passes. That and to build up his confidence and to build up his numbers and to get people excited about who he is as a player.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session. Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoop.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.